Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, David. Let's pray once more, shall we, as we turn to God's Word. Our Father, as we've read, we've just been commanded to praise the Lord. And so we ask that You would tune our hearts to sing Your praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We recently returned from a holiday by the seaside. One evening, I went to sit on the cliff top and watched the sunset. It was a beautiful evening, a beautiful sunset. As I sat there, the grass on the cliff top was blowing in the breeze. The sea, the vast sea in front of me, like a powerful animal that had been tamed as it lapped up on the beach below me. And the sky, the vast expanse of the perfect blue sky with just a few clouds painted orange and pink as the sun dipped below the sea. It was beautiful. Made me go all poetic, didn't it? It was a beautiful evening as I watched what happened. And as I watched, I was listening to some music. I was listening to a song. I can't remember if I was singing out loud along to it, but I was definitely joining in my head. And this is the song I was listening to. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works Thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. As I sat on that cliff, it was as if creation was singing God's glory. It was as if every instrument in creation's orchestra was playing the same song, and I just had to join in. It was all I could do. What I want to do today is I want to stretch our minds. I want to stretch our view of God. I want us to have a bigger understanding of what He is doing in the world. I want us to see the scope of His salvation plan. Sometimes I think we can think about God in quite a self-centered way. But when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, it wasn't just about getting my soul into heaven. His plan in creation and in redemption is so much bigger than that. The gospel is good news, not just for me, but for all of creation. And so, the Lord our God is worthy of all of the praise, not just from me, but from all of creation. Psalm 146, which we heard preached to us 2 weeks ago, that's the song of an individual. He says, I will praise the Lord. Psalm 147, last week, is the song of a community. We should praise the Lord. Psalm 148 expands that even further and says, all of creation must praise the Lord. You see, that's why the writer of this psalm spends so much time talking to creation. Did you notice that? It's a bit weird, isn't it? Verse 2, praise him, all his angels. He's talking to the angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun, moon, shining stars. Verse 7, praise him, you great sea creatures. Praise him, lightning, storms, mountains, trees, animals and birds. He commands creation to praise the Lord. He is the conductor of creation's orchestra. I'm not a musician, but you know how it is with an orchestra. You know what an orchestra is, right? You've got all of those instruments, various instruments sat all over the stage. Rachel is not going to enjoy my technical explanation of what goes on with an orchestra, okay? But imagine that you are the orchestra. The person at the front has a really important role to play. Because the person at the front waves the little stick. That's what it's called, right? Waves the little stick, somehow, to keep people in time. But also, another important role is the person at the front tells people when to join in. I think this is right, right? Yes, I'm getting a nod. Okay, so the person at the front says, okay, you guys over here, you're going to play this next bit. And now you guys over here, you're going to join in. And that's what the psalmist does in this psalm. He is conducting the orchestra of all creation. And he conducts this song of praise in two sections. First, he says, all things up there, praise the Lord. All things up there, praise the Lord. In the first four verses, he is looking up. Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. The heavens is just a way of speaking about everything that is up there. Heavens is just up, sky. Everything that's really high. And the conductor says at the beginning of this psalm, he says, everything that is up there, praise the Lord. If you are up in the heavens, you better praise God from there. Including all of the spiritual beings who live up on high. Verse 2, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. There are real spiritual beings who normally we can't see. God's servants who do what he says, and the conductor commands them, praise the Lord. Verse 3, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. He's no longer talking about beings. He's talking about things, objects, all of the stuff that is above the sky. Verse 4, praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Imagine for a moment that I took you to the front and I strapped a big rocket to your back. I tied you on nice and tight. Then I lit the fuse. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off. And away you go. You're blasting now through the roof. You go past the trees. You go past the birds. You keep going up. You go past the aeroplanes. Wave at the aeroplanes going into Heathrow. You keep going beyond the aeroplanes, through the sky. Actually, above the sky. You go above the atmosphere. And you keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You're now in space. And you get to the moon. And you see Neil Armstrong's footprints on the moon. And you wave at them as you go by. And then you keep travelling. And you get to the sun. And you get a tan really quickly. And then you keep going. And you keep going. And you go past all the planets beyond our solar system. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. Until you find yourself out of our solar system to the last farthest star in the whole of the universe. The edge of the universe. You've blasted from here all the way up past everything to the edge of the universe. And everything that you've just made your way past, all of that stuff owes praise to the Lord. All of that stuff should be praising God. That's the part of the orchestra that the conductor is conducting at this point. He says, all things up there, praise the Lord. And notice it is all things. Verse 2. All his angels. All his heavenly hosts. Verse 3. All you shining stars. He's not just saying some things up there. He's not saying, if you fancy joining in with this song, then feel free, up to you. No, he says, look, all things up there, praise the Lord. Why? Well, we're given a reason in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for, because, at his command, they were created. All things up there, praise him, because you owe your very existence to him. The Lord is the creator of all things. All of that stuff that you blasted past. All things. In John chapter 1, we read of the Lord Jesus that through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. All of creation owes praise to the creator. All of those things that you blasted past on your rocket, the millions of birds, the mighty mountains, the multitude of stars, at his command, they were created. Have you ever stopped to think about that? At his command, all of those things were made. God spoke, and it was so. Everything that we see, everything that we cannot see, even those powerful spiritual beings which normally we can't see, even they owe their existence to God. Everything that we see, everything that we can't see, would not exist unless God had spoken, unless God had said so. What powerful God. When we realize that that is the power of God's word, surely that changes the way that we think about his word, the Bible. What an awesome God, a God who speaks and the universe comes into being. And not only did he create them, he also established them. Verse 6, he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. By his word, God does things. And when God does things, they stick. Everything up there will continue and last until God says otherwise. And so the writer of this psalm, he conducts the orchestra of creation, saying, all things up there, praise the Lord, because he is the creator of all things. In Revelation chapter 4, we get a glimpse into the throne room of the Lord. And do you know what we see? We see that the heavenly hosts are doing the exact thing which the psalmist tells them to do. They're praising the Lord with this song, saying, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You are the creator and sustainer. You created and established all things, and therefore you are worthy of praise. You see, the heavenly hosts are doing exactly what they should be doing. In fact, all of the things up there are pretty good at praising God. We read Psalm 19 earlier. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. Obviously the skies can't speak with words that we can hear. And yet they sing God's praises loud and clear. As I sat on that cliff, watching the sunset, that's what was happening. The sun and the sky were declaring God's glory. They were shouting the praises of the Lord. And it was all I could do to join in. All of creation owes praise to the Creator. Who of us was created? Put your hand up if you were a created being this morning. Some of you are lying. Put your hands up if you're a created being. All of us, right? All of us. I know your mum and dad had something to do with it as well. But then Psalm 139 actually says that God was the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Unless you made yourself, you owe your very existence to the Lord. Unless you made yourself, you owe all of your praise to the Lord. Will you join with all things up there and praise the Lord? Then the writer of the psalm, he moves on to the next section of the orchestra. All things up there, praise the Lord. And next he says, all things down here, praise the Lord. Look at verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth. The earth is just a way of talking about everything which is below the heavens. So everything up there is playing this song of praise. Now it's the turn of everything down here to echo and join in. We've been up as high as we can go, and now we're going as low as we can go. We've been with Neil Armstrong on the moon, and now we're going to join James Cameron in the heart of the sea. Has anyone seen that movie Avatar? Okay, it doesn't matter if you haven't, but the guy who directed Avatar, he's a filmmaker, obviously, and he's also an explorer. And in 2012, he took a solo submarine to the deepest point in the ocean. Anyone know where that is? Any knowledge? Yes, Jude.
Big
Trench. That's the one. The big trench called, I think, the Mariana Trench, I think is what it's called. Do you know how deep it is? Any guesses?
No.
No guesses.
5,000 billion feet.
5,000 billion feet. Not quite as deep as that. Any other guesses? It is. It's lower than Everest is high. So if you took Everest, turned it upside down, or just put it in the sea, it would still be deeper. Yeah, it would fit in the sea. Yeah, thank you. By about 2 kilometers as well. So it's 35,756 feet deep, or 10,898 meters. It's a long way down, basically. And James Cameron took his solo submarine right to the bottom of the sea. And even there, as he sat on the bottom of the sea, even there, creation owes praise to the Creator. Look at verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Do you know, even whale song is for God's glory. And it's not just the animals, even the weather should praise the Lord. Verse 8, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. We can predict the weather, but God controls the weather. No wonder the disciples were terrified when Jesus stood up in a boat on a stormy sea and told it to be quiet. What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. The stormy winds do his bidding. That's God-like power. Weather answers to the Lord, and so therefore weather should praise the Lord. Notice again that everything is included, not just some things, all things. Verse 9, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. All the mountains and the hills sing God's praises. All the trees on the hills clap their hands. And all the birds in the trees sing his song. All things, animate and inanimate, beings and things, all of geography and all of biology, from aardvarks to zebras, from puppies that you want to cuddle to snakes that you'd rather not, from the single cell organism to the most complex creature you can imagine, the conductor of this song says, all things down here praise the Lord. If you are on earth, you better praise him from earth. And that includes us. Verse 11. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth. So even the most important people on earth, even those to whom others give their worship and their praise, no matter how high up the ladder you are, you're still down here on earth. And the conductor says, all things on earth praise the Lord. It really is all people. Verse 12, young men and women, old men and children. Another one to put your hands up for. Who here thinks that they are old? That makes sense. A lot of what I've seen makes sense. Who here thinks they're young? Doesn't make quite so much sense. It doesn't really matter if you're deluded or not, because if you are young or old, you're included in this. If you are an old man or a young child, it doesn't matter, because whether you are young, old, male, female, tall, short, fat or thin, whatever the colour of your skin or the colour of your passport, whoever you are, praise the Lord. This applies to everyone who's ever lived. You know, have you met those people who say, Christianity is not really for me. It's not really my thing. It's okay for you. And I respect you for your beliefs, but it's not for me. I have my own faith. Or perhaps I don't have a faith. I don't believe in anything. And sometimes we're tempted to say, okay, sort of each to their own, that's fair enough, I'm going to respect you, I'll leave you to it. But we can't, because all of creation owes God praise. What this psalm makes clear is that whatever religion people have or don't have, they still owe praise, not just to God, but to the Lord, the God of the Bible. Why? Well, because he's their creator, one. But actually, we're given two more reasons here at the back end of the psalm. The first is that he is greater than all things. So he is the creator of all things, and he's also greater than all things. Verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Let them praise, it says, the name of the Lord. Like I say, this isn't a case of any old God will do. This isn't a call just to acknowledge some sort of higher power. As I sat on that clifftop, overlooking that beautiful sunset with the grass blowing in the wind and the sea lapping on the shore and the sky pink and orange, I sat there amazed that the God who made all of that was the God who I know and love. Astonished me. And as well as just feeling like I couldn't do anything other than join in with the song of creation, the other thing that it forced me to do was to tell someone about it. There was a guy sitting a few metres away from me, and as I got up to leave, I said, sorry to disturb you. I just thought I should tell you that I know the guy who made all of this. And he looked at me like, okay. I was like, can I sit down? He was like, okay. And we had a chat. And it was interesting because he was actually from Slovakia, and he was here for the summer. And as he sat and watched, I said, look, you have to admit that there must be something more, right? This is putting God on display. And he said, yeah, you're right. But he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know the Lord our God. He didn't honour him and praise him as he should. You see, it's interesting how people have this sense that there is something more, particularly when we see creation in all of its glory. Yes, we are humbled by some sort of higher power, but for that man, it wasn't enough simply to say this is great and there must be something more. He actually had to give praise to the one who made it, the one who has revealed himself as the Lord, slow to anger, abounding in love, the one who has given us his name so that we might praise him. He is the one who is responsible. He is the worthy one. As it says there in the verse 13, his name alone is exalted. False gods are no gods at all. Among all the people who are praised in our society, among everything that people worship and adore, among all the powers and authorities, there is one name above them all. There is one who is greater. One and one alone whose splendor is above the earth and the heavens. I love how it, did you notice that? How the psalmist has tied that in with the rest of the psalm. He's been talking, he's been conducting the whole of creation's orchestra. He started with the heavens, all things up there, praise the Lord. He moved on to the earth, all things down here, praise the Lord. Why? Because there is one who stands above both the earth and the heavens. One who is greater still than everything that you blasted past on your rocket. One who sits enthroned above all of that. One who is greater than anyone else. One who is greater than all things, and his name is the Lord. And so the psalmist says, praise him. Praise him because what he's done for you, because of who he is. The reason that all things must praise God, The reason that everything, everywhere should sing praises to the Creator is because He is on a whole nother level. We just can't imagine it. As I prayed this morning, I was again struck by how limited words are. I can't even get the words out now. And as I was praying to the Lord, how can we ever do You justice? Your greatness is beyond what we can imagine. I can say something about Your greatness, but there are no words to describe how glorious our Lord is. Lord, we just want to know more of You. We want our minds to be blown by You. We want our hearts to be stretched by You. This is why we must praise Him, because He is greater than all things. But there's more. If that wasn't enough, there's more. Verse 14. Are you still with me? Look down at verse 14 if you're still with me. He has raised up for His people a horn. So this is another reason to praise the Lord, because He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to His heart. Here's the last reason to praise the Lord, because He is the deliverer of all things. He has raised up a horn for His people. What does that mean? Well, if you follow the footnote, you'll see there at the bottom of the page that horn here symbolizes strength. Horn is a picture of something or someone that the Lord would raise up for His people. It's talking about a strong deliverer, someone who would act on behalf of His faithful servants who are close to His heart. The original singers of this song had experienced something of that. Remember, these last few psalms were probably written for God's people as they returned to their homes after the horror of exile. They had sinned against God and so been taken away from their capital city, from their home. Everything had been broken and ruined. Everything was lost. But God had now raised up strong leaders who had helped to restore the people back to Jerusalem and to Himself. And so the original singers of this song could join in with the orchestra of creation, and they could sing their praises to God, not just because He is the creator of all things, not just because He is greater than all things, but because He is the deliverer of all things. And they had experienced something of that. But this horn, it points us beyond the exile. Like many things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it points us to something further ahead than just the initial fulfillment of it. This horn points us to something beyond the return to from exile. Many years later, a man named Zechariah sang his own song of praise. You can find it in Luke chapter 1. And he sings this: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us." He's talking about Jesus, the uncreated one who stepped into creation, the one who is seated above the heavens and yet came down to earth. He who is greater than the angels and yet made Himself a little lower than the angels. Jesus, who lived as one of us, except He is not like us, for He did not sin. And when He entered into that same capital city, when He entered into Jerusalem, songs of praise came from the lips of the people. They said, "Praise the Lord." They said, "Hallelujah." How quickly those songs of praise turn to cries of "Crucify." Jesus was delivered over to death for us, to deliver us from death. You see, I deserve to be far from God. I deserve that exile that the people experience. I deserve to be far away from the God who made the world, the God who created me to know me and to love me. I deserve that because of my repeated failure to do the very thing this psalm is calling us to do. My repeated failure to praise Him as God, to honor Him as worthy, to see Him as the great and glorious Creator. Which one of us lives every second of our life in utter praise and adoration of our God? None of us. And therefore all of us deserve to be far from him. But on the cross, Jesus suffered as one far away from God, so that simply by trusting in him, all of my failures are rubbed out, and I'm drawn in, drawn back to him with arms of love, welcomed as one of his people, welcomed as someone close to his heart. Isn't that a beautiful phrase there at the end? Verse 14. A people close to his heart. Just try and rub that into your brain and your heart for a moment. So out of all of the creation that we've talked about today, out of every single thing that you blasted past on your rocket, everything up there, which by the way is on a scale that we can't even imagine or get our heads around, the millions and billions and billions and billions of stars and planets, everything up there and everything down here, everything that we see, everything that we don't see, every creature that has ever been made, and yet out of all of creation, out of everything that God spoke into existence, he has a special place for his people. And that place is a place close to his heart. Isn't that astounding? Isn't that incredible? Out of everything that he spoke into being in the whole of the universe, we are uniquely valued and precious to him. If you are one of his people, he loves you. He has you close to his heart. If you don't yet know that love of God, you're missing out. And I call you today to praise him, as you should, as the psalmist says you should. Praise him for what he's done. Trust him for dying in your place and rising again, that you might become one of his people close to his heart. We should all praise him. We must praise him. But it's bigger than that. Remember how I said at the beginning, I want to stretch our view of God. I want us to have a bigger understanding of his salvation plan. So just for one moment, let's step back from this psalm. Let's stop and have a think. Because when we do that, we realize that it's not just God's people who are called to praise God. Right? Who is this psalm addressed to? Who is he speaking to? You can answer that. Who is he speaking to?
Creation.
All creation, right? It's not just, okay, people of God, you must praise him because he is your deliverer. He's actually addressing the whole of creation, saying you all owe praise to God. And one of the reasons is because God is the deliverer of all things. Yes, God's people have a particular and glorious reason to praise God. We have been delivered from that exile that we deserve. We have been restored to him. We are a people close to his heart. Praise God for that. But this psalm is addressed to all of creation. The writer is conducting the whole of the orchestra. Things up there, things down here, all of it. The gospel is good news for all of creation. The fact that God has raised up a horn for his people is a reason for all of creation to give him praise. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, it broke their relationship with God. They experienced exile from God. But that wasn't the only thing that was broken. Sin ruined everything. Creation was spoiled. Sin is the awful reason that we live in a world of thorns and wasp stings, and earthquakes, and disappointment, and depression, and death. Every negative thing that you are dealing with in your life right now is a result of the brokenness of our world, which is a result of the sinfulness of our human hearts. Sin ruined everything. Creation was spoiled, and Romans 8 describes creation groaning like a woman in labor. I won't pretend like I know what that feels like, but I've seen it happen and it looks painful. Creation is groaning like a woman in labor. Creation is eagerly awaiting the children of God to be revealed. Why? Because the Jesus who died on the cross rose again to break the curse. And when he returns, creation itself will be liberated, freed, delivered from bondage to decay, and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. You see, God's salvation plan is so much bigger than just delivering my soul into heaven. Much bigger. Jesus, the Bible says, is going to reconcile all things to himself. The Lord is going to remake our broken world, and there will be no longer any thorns or any wasp stings or any earthquakes or any disappointment or any depression or any death or any of the things that you're struggling with this morning. It will be gone. In the new creation, creation itself will share the freedom and the glory that Jesus won for his people, and everything will be brilliant. Won't that be good? Praise God. Say praise God.
Praise God.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord, because he is remaking our broken world. He is the deliverer, not just of me, but of all things. In fact, the only ones who will not enjoy this experience of freedom and delight are the ones who refuse to give him the praise that he is due. This is why it's a song for all of creation. This is why the writer of the psalm conducts the whole of the orchestra. Everyone needs to join in, because this is good news for all. Maybe this morning you're struggling to praise God. Maybe there's something going on in your life which makes that difficult. Maybe life is beating you up and praise feels far from your lips. Some of us, I know, are going through very difficult times. And those things are real. Those things are true. Those things are not small. But whatever else is true, these three things remain the same. Whatever things we struggle with, the Lord still remains worthy of the praise of all of creation, because he is the creator of all things. He is greater than all things. He is the deliverer of all things. I don't know about you. I'm going to praise him. I'm sorry for conducting you a bit this morning and forcing you to say praise God, but I feel like maybe it's appropriate given the psalm. If we cannot praise God because of these three things, then there's something wrong. So we're going to stand and sing. There's another song that we're not going to sing, but these are the words, and this kind of is our resolve, my resolve, and maybe your resolve as we join in. It says this: with every breath that I am given, I will sing salvation's song, and I'll join the chorus of creation giving praise to Christ alone. Let's begin to do that as we sing songs of praise. Let's stand together and sing of our Lord Jesus.